We continue today in Simen Yud Aleph. We left off in the middle of Sif Vav. So in the Dish Mishneh Berurah, picking up on page Chaf Aleph. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, remember, in yesterday's halacha, we learned that if one went ahead and made tzitzis from semer gozel, from stolen wool, so one has not fulfilled the mitzvah, because the Torah says, va'asu lahem, that you shall make for yourselves. And the Gemara understands that to mean, the Shulchan Aruch stated, mishalahem, that it must be of wool that you own yourself. So in that same vein, the Shulchan Aruch writes, v'dafka, now actually quoting the Ramah. So Haggad, the Ramah quotes, v'dafka shegozel achutin. When do we say that stolen tzitzis will not work? That's only if you stole the strings. Avalim gazal tzemer va'asan chutin ksherim. But if one were to steal the wool and fashion the wool into strings, then in fact, technically speaking, the tzitzis are kosher. One would be yotzei the mitzvah. Now, why is that? If you look at Simon Sif Katan Chavches v'dafka, the az afilu nisya'ashu abaylim pasul diyush lakona va. So the Mishneh Berurah is commenting over here that if you went ahead and you stole the tzitzis, so you're not yotzei. And this is true, introduces us to the idea, even if there's yeyosh. Yeyosh, of course, means that the owners, the true owners, despair of ever recovering the item. So there's a machlokes in the Gemara as to whether or not yeyosh is kona, yeyosh is lekona. When the owners give up on recovering the item, does that allow the person who has it to acquire it or not? Clearly, again, it doesn't mean the person is not a thief. The question just is if the person owns the object or not. So the Mishneh Berurah says over here that Yeyush by itself, even if the owners went ahead and gave up hope, the fact that no change has occurred to the item prevents the item from being acquired by the individual who has stolen it. Therefore, if you stole strings and you put them on tzitzis, so again, the halacha is going to be, even if the owners have given up hope of ever retrieving the item, you still can't be yotzei the mitzvah. However, again, if one went ahead and stole wool, if you look at the next Mishneh Berurah, Shegazal Chutin, Chavtes, Ein Magin Avram, Sif Katan Yud, Uledvarv HaGazu Cholik Al Mechaber, Desrilei Da'akram Miet, Afilu Masa Chutin Migezer Atzama. Fine, let's go to Lamed. So in Lamed, remember here, the Ramah is commenting that if you stole wool and you fashioned the wool into tzitzis, that technically speaking, such tzitzis are kosher, and one could be yotzei the mitzvah. Writes the Mishneh Berurah, ksherim, hataz mevayer da'ayri haramah hechi da'havi yeyosh gamkein. So the Taz explains that the Ramah's statement is not only where you're stealing wool, but you're stealing wool. There was yeyosh bailim, the owners gave up hope of ever retrieving the item. The kana be yeyosh v'shinei hashem. In this circumstance, a person acquires it, a person acquires the stolen object. Why? Number one, because there was yeyosh, owners despaired of ever recovering, and also shinui hashem. Shinui hashem means a change of identity. So because it has gone from being wool into being tzitzis strings, that is a change of identity in and of itself. And therefore, the thief is able to acquire the item. Now, to be clear, when we say the thief is able to acquire the item, of course, the thief is still obligated to repay. But the question is, does he have some level of ownership over the stolen item? Deme'ikara tzemer v'hashtachutin. Because in the beginning, what he stole was wool. And now there's been a fundamental change. This is called strings. Aval amagin avram kasav. Demidisasam haramo mashma. But the Magen Avraham seems to say that even since the Ramah doesn't mention anything about the Yeyosh, that would seem to indicate that the thief could acquire the wool, or I should say could acquire the tzitzis, even without Yeyosh of the owners. He goes on, he says, Dikanina bishinui maisa. Because ultimately, even without Yeyosh, the reason why the thief will acquire the stolen wool or the stolen tzitzis is because he's transformed them from wool into strings. So what the Mishneh Berurah is quoting over here is a fundamental machlokes, not really as much in Hilchos tzitzis, as much as in the laws of theft, that when a thief steals an item, at what point in time, if ever, does he actually acquire the item? So everyone will agree that apparently if there's no change in the item, then the thief will not acquire it, even if there was yeyosh, even if the owner gave up of ever hope of ever retrieving the item. But if there was shinui maisa and yeyosh, if there was a change in the object, plus again yeyosh, so it appears to be that everybody will agree that the thief will acquire the item, again, still having the obligation to pay back. What seems to be the machlokes is, does shinui maisa, does a change in the item, even without Yeush, allow the thief to acquire it at all. So that seems to be the machlokis over here in the ruling of the Ramah. So some say because the Ramah did not mention anything about Yeush, therefore the Ramah is saying that as long as you change the object, the thief has acquired it, while others require a change accompanied by Yeush. Vim gazal chutin umachran la'achar lefnei Yeush. If one stole strings and sold them to another person before the owners had Yeush, lo yotza sheni bat tzitzis. The second person is not able to discharge their obligation with these tzitzis. The shinui rishus below Yeush lo kona velo karina bevasulahem. Because a change of domain, without really, remember, no change in the actual object, but a change in domain, a change in ownership, without Yeush, will not allow the second party to acquire the item, and therefore, again, it is not lohem, it is not their tzitzis. Vim achar shebali adashini nisyashu abaylim. But if after the thief sold it to a third party, the owners then gave up hope of retrieving it. Ayin b'choshen mishpat b'semin shunun gimel sif gimel diyesh deos bazeh. It's a machlokes. Vim nasyashu v'achar kach machron. But again, if the owners gave up hope of ever retrieving the item, and then the thief stole it, sakan hasheni es atzitzis. So in those circumstances, again, because the third party is purchasing it after Yeush, therefore, he is able to acquire the tzitzis. Va'af le'inyan bracha, mashma me'a magin avram, simin tafresh me'am tes, sifkot and bees, diyucha levarich bazeh. And interestingly enough, in this kind of case, where the thief stole it, and then there was Yeush, and then after Yeush, the thief sold it to a third party, not only is the third party Yotzei with these strings for tzitzis, but apparently, again, it could even make a bracha. Ve'ein ba mishum mitzvah haba ba'aveira kevan shehulo gazel. And the third party is permitted to make a bracha on these tzitzis, and we don't say that those tzitzis represent for him a mitzvah haba ba'aveira, right? A mitzvah that ultimately only comes about through the commission of sin, because at the end of the day, this third party did not sin. He's not the thief. V'chein pasak ha-machtis ha-shekel. Achein ha-primigadim sham b'shem ha-levush machmir bazeh. V'gam ha-taz b'simin chafhei v'agra machmirin bazeh. So this is actually quite interesting, that over here it appears to be in this particular case where, again, the thief stole the tzitzis, stole the strings, and then ultimately, again, after the theft, there was Yeush Bailim, the owners despaired of ever getting the object back, and then, again, the thief sold it to a third party. So in this kind of situation, everyone will agree that the third party acquires the item. The question is, can he make a bracha on it? And this seems to be a machlokis. So the Mishnah Berurah's first opinion that he quotes the Magen Avraham and others seem to say that he can make a bracha on it because it's not a mitzvah haba ba'aveira because he did not steal the object, but the primigadim, the taz, and the gra seem to be machmir and say that one should not go ahead and make a bracha on this particular type of tzitzis. So he goes on, the Mishnah Berurah in Lamed Aleph, excuse me, first, let's go back up top. He says, Miu, lechat, finishing up in the Ramah, so Miu lechatchila asr la'asosan. But of course, again, it goes without saying, the Ramah says, the lechatchila, one should not make tzitzis like this. Meaning, even though he just said before that if you stole wool, and you fashion the wool into strings, technically speaking, they're kosher, because again, remember, the object itself has transformed, and therefore the person who makes it into strings has ultimately acquired it. But of course, one should l'chatchila not make tzitzis like this. Ule inyan bracha, ayin l'kamon reish simin tof reish memtes. In terms of whether or not you can make a bracha, the Ramah refers us later on. La'asosan, l'si mishnah burah sifkotin lamed aleph, rotzelomar, l'hatila tzitzis elu bebigdo, misho mitzvah ba ba'aveir v'ayim b'halacha. So this is interesting. So the mishnah burah says, meaning, the Ramah is not telling us the lechatchila you shouldn't steal. That is clear. Lechatchila you shouldn't steal, b'dievet you shouldn't steal, that we all know. The question is, if one received strings like this, that I know were stolen, but yet I also know, technically speaking, at this point in time, are now technically kosher for tzitzis. The wool was stolen, the wool was fashioned into strings. At this point in time, such strings are usable for tzitzis, but the Mishnah Berurah says, l'chatchila, one should not do it, one should not use it. And the Mishnah Berurah says what that means is that one should not use these type of tzitzis on their beged because of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Because even though technically speaking, again, one could say that halachically they're no longer considered to be stolen objects. And as we saw before, one could even make the cogent argument that technically speaking, one should be able to make a bracha on this, but nevertheless, as we could clearly see, it's not appropriate, and therefore the Ramah says one should not use it. Simin tafresh mem tes mishnah berurah sifkot lamed beis de pasak sham de in yochol avarich alav vay misharchu behalacha. So later on, the Ramah actually says that in this kind of case, explicitly, he says that although technically speaking, such strings that are made from stolen wool are technically kosher for the mitzvah of tzitzis, but we do not make a bracha on such tzitzis because of mitzvah haba ba'aveira. Writes the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Zayin. Chutin she'ulin havahi. It's another interesting case. If you go ahead and you borrow strings, it is considered to be a hava alone, delo hadri be'anayu, that you do not have to return in their current state, ukidi de dami, and therefore again they are the property of the borrower. What does this mean? If you look in Mishnah Berurah, if Katan Lamed Gimel, says the following: Chutin shulin perish koloshun she'ila mashma shiachsilo also davar ba'ayin. So this is interesting. You know, in English, the word she'ila and hava kind of could translate the same way as to loan someone something. I'm borrowing something. But in halacha, they mean two very different things. In halacha, when you are a shoel, the idea is you're borrowing something, but the intent is that you are going to return the exact object that you borrowed. However, again, I've a lashon hava, lo tzon nitna. When there's a hava, a loan, or you borrow something, hava means I'm borrowing something, and I need to repay back the equivalent or an equivalent item, but the item itself that I am receiving is mine. I don't have to give back the same item when the loan or when the borrowing is due. The iluchutin she'ulin mistama havi hava, the karinim mishalam, and therefore the chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch is that if you borrow strings from tzitzis for someone, the assumption is that it's a hava and not a she'ila. The intention is that you'll have to pay the person, you'll have to pay back money, or you'll have to repay other strings, but the strings that you are receiving ultimately are yours. Now, the reason why that's important is because, again, as we've said before, you can only make a bracha on tzitzis if the tzitzis are yours. But if the tzitzis are someone else's, you cannot make a bracha on that. Therefore, what the Ramah is telling us is, if you, quote-unquote, borrow tzitzis, strings we're talking about over here, from someone, to go ahead and put on a baguette, the assumption is that that's not she'ila. The expectation is not that you give back those very strings, but rather it's a halva'a, it's a loan, and you have to give back either strings, different strings, or money, but therefore you are yotzei the mitzvah. Ukidi dei damish, Mishnah Berurah sif ko'in lamid dalid, avalim she'ila lo adaiti she'achzirin lo ba'ayin, lo yivarech alayu. But of course it goes without saying that if the person is explicit, if he tells me, I'm giving you the strings, but I want these strings back, then of course, under those circumstances, you would not be permitted to make a bracha if you were to attach those strings to your baguette. The Yeshlamar Shesh Ilan Lo Lemelacha Acheres. Aval. Im hish il lo tzitzis mitukonim ke'in shalanu shehim shezurim upsukim. But again, if you were to go ahead and lend someone what he calls tzitzis mitukanim, meaning ready to go tzitzis, that are shezurim and psukim, meaning they are twisted in the right way, psukim, they're the right length, then in that case, mutter litlosam bitaliso ulovarech alayhu, debavadai nostam lo b'matana amanas lahachzir. So in this kind of case, so here, what the Mishnah Berurah really is being mechalik, what he's distinguishing between, is essentially if someone gives you stam string that could be made into tzitzis versus string that is already usable for tzitzis. So if a person gave you string, stam string, and a person said that I want the string back, then the assumption is that they really want the string back, that actual string. But if a person went ahead and lent you, quote-unquote, tzitzis that is ready to be used, meaning ready to be used for actual tzitzis, it's already twisted, it's already the right length, then in that type of situation, the Mishnah Berurah says you could use it, you could put it on your talus, you can make a bracha on it, because the assumption is what he calls this matal manas lahachzir. The idea is that since he's giving you ready to use tzitzis string, the assumption is that he knows you're going to use it on your talus, there's no expectation on your tzitzis, there's no expectation that a person is going to put it on, take it off, and therefore again, he's giving it to you, and ultimately you just have to pay him for that tzitzis, either again by giving him other strings, or ultimately, again, by paying him the cash value. So therefore, again, halacha l'maisa, so this kind of qualifies things a little bit, because beforehand, we wanted to say that anytime you go, actually, it's really not, it's all part of the same idea, that if you, quote-unquote, borrow tzitzis, the assumption always is that borrowing tzitzis means that you're keeping the strings that you're getting, and you're going to replace them either, again, with money, or ultimately, again, with other strings. The Mishnah Berurah just qualifies that to say that assumption is only made with strings that are ready to be used for tzitzis. But if somebody went ahead and gave you regular strings that are not yet fit for tzitzis, woolen strings that are not yet fit for tzitzis, and the person says, I'd like them back, so it could very well be that halacha l'maisa, you have to go ahead and give back those actual strings. But if the strings themselves are ready to be used for tzitzis, then the assumption is the giver is giving those strings to the individual with the expectation that the individual will either pay back with money or ultimately pay back with strings in kind. All right, Tevosei, we will stop over here. Emirat Hashem, on Sunday, we pick up with Simin Yud Aleph, Si'if Ches. Wishing everyone a wonderful day and a good Shabbos.